We're back together again, you and I, on a midweek Wednesday, September 13th, 2023, right here on Connecticut Today, where I kicked off the show looking at the previous day's Bridgeport Democratic mayoral primary and all the key numbers. Only in Bridgeport, blogger Lenny Grimaldi and Hearst, Connecticut media columnist and editor Dan Haar also shared their thoughts on that race. Well, I guess here we go again. All right. the meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Let me start out here. And before we start making accusations and people start calling in and this guy's a crook and that guy's a crook, time out. Okay. We don't know anything yet. Okay, we don't know anything yet, and at the risk of people wanting to point fingers here and say, well, there you go, another crooked race. Now, wait a minute. Let's call time out on both sides here. Now, of course, we begin with this, a rather, I guess you would say, interesting Democratic primary in Bridgeport last night, similarly to what happened, or similar to 2019, when the absentee ballot tally later in the evening tended to provide the opposite of what the in-person voting saw in Bridgeport last night, and hence flipped the outcome, which looked like it was going to go one way and ends up going another. So let me start out here with the numbers. And if any time you want to call in here and give your opinion, you can. And again, it's 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And again, let's be careful here. There's been nothing alleged at this point. Although John Gomes, you may have heard from Chris in the news there at the top of the hour, I guess John Gomes says he's going to come across with, I guess the words were, tangible evidence. All right. That should be interesting as to what that could be. So the final tally, as far as the AP is concerned, the Associated Press, with, I guess, 99% of all the ballots cast, according to the folks at Hearst Connecticut Media, Connecticut Post, and all that, Joe Ganim comes up with 4,189. John Gomes, 3,952. So the mayor wins that, apparently, 4,189 to 3,952. Those are the published final totals that we have here. Now, to the machine vote or the in-person vote, in other words, the votes that were tallied apparently at the voting places into and through Bridgeport yesterday, early morning, midday, and last night. Mr. Gomes tallying 3,173 votes, Joe Ganim 2,644 votes. So as far as the at the poll, at the voting locale count, Mr. Gomes, much like State Senator Marilyn Moore did 4 years ago, held a lead. And I started getting messages on my phone last night, here come the absentees. And then you see that once the absentees came in, on a significant margin for the mayor, he wins the primary. The unofficial absentee count, 1,545 for Joe Ganim, 779 for John Gomes. Add the two columns together, the mayor wins 4,189 to 3,952. Now, a couple of things here. John Gomes is apparently not going away, nor should he, nor any other candidate. I don't care what any whatever city or town or state we're talking about, if there is an opportunity for someone to run again, I don't care what party, I don't care what kind of race, and you have the wherewithal to do it because you feel that you are in some way not treated properly or still want to get another couple of months of campaigning for your message to break through, well, then go ahead and do it. You know, that's fine. But again, perception being reality here. We talk about this all the time. Perception being reality. There is the real reality of this, which may in fact be that everything was on the up and up. You never know. I'm not on the inside here, like I said, and I make it plain. I have no pony, no horse, no doggy, no piglet, no manner of animal in any of these races. I do not live in Bridgeport. I watch from afar. I think that helps me because I don't know. I don't have a personal relationship with anybody on the inside here. So, you know, you look at this and you say, okay, maybe this is, you know, unless you give me being me here, or you out there, I think, unless you give us, me, we, whatever, tangible evidence that something was a little funky here, okay, then maybe. But on the surface of it, I, me, in this position, a pretty powerful position, if you look at it being behind this mic, I'm not going to assert anything here. I'm not, because I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm not a Bridgeport voter. But let me add the but here, the caveat, if you will. Perception is reality. And as somebody said to me earlier today who knows elections pretty well, what happens, what tends to breed the cynicism from people, whether that's right or wrong? I think people have a natural inclination with past history to say, oh, here we are again. The polling places said one thing, and these absentees said another. And there's a natural inclination for people to say, well, at least we can see the polling places. We can walk in there. We can see the poll workers. We can see maybe there's a police officer there. I mean, the polling places, the polling spots give you some manner of, some manner of order here. Absentees are mysterious. The whole absentee ballot thing, since it was expanded during COVID, and again, the progressives use this on COVID, and it's been used in Bridgeport here for years, what people have told me, several people saying, hey, you know, with a wink, wink, the senior citizens' apartments and complexes, listen, this is nothing that none of you have ever heard, haven't heard either. So again, perception is reality. There may be nothing bad here. There might be. But then again, there might be, there might not be. Nobody knows anything right now. So the next phase of this, if there's going to be a pushback on this by Mr. Gomes, which apparently there will be, I'm going to be very interested to hear what he has to say. I guess the phrase tangible evidence is being used. I don't know. Sounds pretty interesting to me. But again, we just have the unfortunate thing here. Set aside who won and who lost. The unfortunate thing here is you have another election where, maybe for perfectly legal reasons, nothing underhanded, the apparent outcome flips because of ballots that, let's face it, some people hear absentees, not just in Bridgeport, but wherever, and they go, what do you expect? And it's maybe why people are cynical. I don't know. I guess it's a lot more easy to be cynical when you lose rather than win, but I don't know. Kelly in Stratford starts us off today. Kelly, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
So, if you want to eliminate the cynicism, why not have simple solution? Absentee ballots have to be counted 24 hours in advance of election day. You want to vote from home, fine. If it's in on time, it counts. If it's not in on time, oh well. 24 hours in advance, and then when you go to the polls, that determines who wins.
You know, Kelly, I know states handle this differently. I know others. There's no national standard for how absentees are used. And some of the stuff you mentioned there did ring a bell, because I know there are some states that, you're right, require ABs to be sent in like pre-election day or even 2 or 3 days before election day. Here's my question to you. How easy you think it is going to be to make these changes? if you can even try.
Well, why not vote on it?
Yeah. And Kelly, thank you. I appreciate it. Look, she brings up a valid point. And all this has to come from the General Assembly, maybe with changes to the state constitution through the General Assembly and the Secretary of the State's office, Stephanie Thomas. So I don't know. So let's see what Mr. Gomes is going to say over the next couple of days. We'll keep you updated on it here. And again, I don't know. I don't. All this may be perfectly above board. But again, you saw the headlines this morning. You're hearing talk about it here on the station and other places. So let us see what else we could possibly unwrap here with all this. And we continue to break down the victory by Mayor Joe Ganim in the Democratic mayoral primary in the city of Bridgeport over John Gomes. The unofficial numbers from the Secretary of the State's office make it a 549 vote win at this point for the mayor, 53.4% to 46.6%. The mayor releasing a statement just minutes ago saying, quote, "This win reflects the voice of the voters. I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to all the voters who turned out to support me in the primary election." He continued, "Your trust and dedication drive my commitment to serve you and our city. Together we'll address the city's challenges, achieve great things, and continue to move Bridgeport forward." That the official statement from the current incumbent Democratic Mayor Joe Ganim. His challenger, not happy, John Gomes, saying, quote, "There is tangible evidence this election was sabotaged." Some heavy words. Joining us right now, as he does actually every Thursday, and we're not going to let him off the hook for that one tomorrow because he'll be poking around to see what he finds between today and tomorrow. But he's here right now for special coverage. Lenny Grimaldi's with us. Lenny, never a dull moment. How are you?
Uncle Paul, I filed my absentee ballot from Tahiti yesterday. I voted for you. I wrote you in.
Lenny, what you know, you and I exchanged messages earlier in the day yesterday, and we were both kind of like, okay, we'll see. And then, you know, as the night wore on last night, Lenny, what happened?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I'm on your show weekly, and this isn't new, right? I've been saying in your show for months now that a good chunk of this election is going to be decided by absentee ballots. Both sides worked it. You know, the Ganim operation obviously had more. The Gomes operation, you know, they wanted their, you know, quote unquote insurance policy as well, and had roughly 9,000 absentee ballots, people who voted that way as well. So, you know, it's, you know, you're looking at this stuff. You know, why does this happen? And I think in part, I think some of this is going to change next year because Connecticut doesn't have any early voting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of states do, whether you agree with it or not. Next year, it's going to start from early voting.
Okay.
And I think some of this is going to stop. The only, you know, Connecticut has excuse only absentee ballot voting. And, you know, you have 6 or 7 ways or excuses to vote by AB. But as we know, the last couple of weeks, the state of Connecticut amended the law to make it much easier to vote by absentee ballot.
Sure.
So just the fear of getting sick on election day or not wanting to, you know, go to the polls is enough for someone to vote by absentee ballot. And, you know, both sides worked it. Ganim had more more absentee voters than Gomes. Gomes won by a few hundred on the machine count, and you know, and the absentee ballots put the mayor over the top. So right now, the difference in the vote total is Ganim has as you noted, a 549 vote lead.
Yeah,
these are unofficial numbers. Okay, so probably by Friday, you'll have the official tally. if Ganim picked up some extra votes from last night. So looking at, I wrote that story at groggy-eyed, you know, after midnight, right? Watching this all night long and working on it and trying to dig up some information. So the number is different. Ganim got, I think, it's like roughly 70 more votes.
Okay.
And where do they come from? So if you walk into a voting place and you go to the check-in area and your name isn't listed on the official voting sheet, you can sign an affidavit, which simply states that I'm signing this affidavit saying that I'm a bona fide registered voter in this district, and you can vote that way. So if you fill out a ballot, that is what they call a hand count. So there were a number of those that occurred yesterday. And so there's also, you know, sometimes the machines fail.
Yeah.
You slip the ballot in and it rejects it. So if that happens, they look at the ballot and say, okay, it rejected it, and we're gonna hand count. And so you hand count those get set aside, and they get added. So overnight, Ganim had 70 more. But also, I don't know the reason for this yet. I'm checking on it. Gomes has a couple of hundred votes less today than he had last night.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bit of a discrepancy in there right now, and I don't know I don't have the answer for it. I'm trying to find out. So, you know, the Gomes campaign, you know, may challenge this. You know, it's if it's like one or two or three or four votes, you know, that is something that maybe you can explain to a judge to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or in trouble. When you get into hundreds of votes, it's a very, very high burden. For instance, let's suppose it ends up being a 500-vote plurality.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
For Joe Ganim, and the Gomes campaign says, listen, we were sabotaged. It's some funny business, and this is how we think it happened. They're going to have to show 500 ways.
Yeah.
For a judge to say, okay, I see the 500 ways. We went through this process 4 years ago where Mayor Joe Ganim defeated State Senator Marilyn Moore by 270 votes. The Bridgeport Generation Now brought a lawsuit and financed it, saying, you know, this and that happened. Judge Barry Stevens looked at the information and threw the case out, you know. So validated the amount of Joe Ganim's
win. Well, yeah, because you and Lenny and other people have told me judges hate to get involved in elections. You're right. You've got to have you have to have a fusillade, a cascade of evidence before they'll even continue doing something. Consider it.
Yeah, especially if it's hundreds. Like, you know, I've seen cases, and it happened last year, Judge Barry Stevens. It was just a couple of votes. And Barry Stevens said, you know what, I'm a little uncomfortable with this. It's just a couple of votes. Let's still have another primary.
Mm-hmm.
That was a state primary. So there are times where a judge would say, you know what, I see what you're saying in this situation. I'll order a new trial. I mean, order a new primary, excuse me. But when it's hundreds of hundreds, yeah, you need mountain ranges of evidence to convince a judge, all right, we want a new primary.
Yeah, and Lenny, the phrase he's used here, John Gomes, is tangible evidence this election was sabotage. Now, that's a pretty heavy line to put out there. Now, granted, you and I are in the media business. You put the big words out there so, you know, students like me will pick up on it. But is that hyperbole, or do you think they might have some grand piece of evidence or not?
I don't know. You know, let's see what he comes up with. And then they may very well say, hey, listen, we've got information. We want to bring it to the court. But also keep in mind, John Gomes does have the ballot line in November.
Yeah.
So he's going to have his name on the ballot in November on the Bridgeport Independent Party line. So he may say ultimately, I don't know, I got my ballot, you know, I'll scream and yell about this, make some noise, but make case in the general election. Or he may say, listen, we got plenty here that we want to bring to a court and let, you know, a judge in Bridgeport weigh all the evidence, take a look at it, and see what they're going to do. So, you know, I believe the Gomes camp would have, I believe it's like 2 weeks or so, notify the court that they plan some kind of official court action for this election. So, hey, We'll see how it plays out. But it's interesting though how the AB interest of how the various political campaign caps are working these.
Yeah.
The amount of absentee voters that John Gomes had, that's the third largest in the history of Democratic primaries.
Wow.
The only two more were Joe Ganim 2019 and Joe Ganim 2023. Right? So that's an interesting, interesting statistic. So both sides worked it.
And
the
sure.
Gomes camp. I mean, by the way, a lot of the Gomes people, mm-hmm. they were doing the same thing for Ganim, right, for years.
Yeah.
So some of these this is a very personally driven primary.
Uh-huh.
You know, John Gomes was the deputy chief administrative officer for the city of Bridgeport, supported Joe Ganim's return to the mayoralty in 2015, supported him in 2019. They had a falling out. The mayor let him go. The mayor had a number of political divorces with other political operatives. And they said, okay, John Gomes is going to be our candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they know that John Gomes has a lot of, you know, smart political operatives around him that know the ins and outs of campaign work, that know the absentee ballot process. Some both sides have it. You know,
sure.
Both sides have it. And that's the way it shakes out. Both sides work it. And then side that loses will generally say, hey,
yeah,
you know, it got stolen or it got sabotaged. And, hey, you know, the Gomes campaign comes up with something, you know, good for them if they can make it stick, but it's a very high burden.
Interesting. Lenny, thanks. And listen, I'll put you on the shtick right now. Go out, sniff around, see what you can come up with, and we'll talk tomorrow afternoon, okay?
I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, Lenny, okay. Thanks. There you go. All right, Lenny Grimaldi, only in Bridgeport.com. Of course, one of the best local news sites. We'll have Dan Haar on to talk about this from Hearst Connecticut Media also in the 5 o'clock hour. So there it is, the Gomes campaign, John Gomes refusing to concede, says here, there is, quote, I'm not saying he's right or wrong here, folks. This is just in the spirit of reportage of what's going on. There is, quote, tangible evidence this election was sabotaged, unquote. Interesting choice of words there. He didn't say stolen. I'm just reading this quote. He said sabotaged. All right, listen. Interesting. Both sides usually have lawyers in this sort of thing where they say, okay, you can say this and allege this. Don't do that. But one thing Lenny did say is maybe this goes away or gets worse or gets better with the advent of what will likely be early voting next year, to which both parties, and I know the Republicans don't like it, but if they're going to survive at any level in this state, they really have to adapt to it. So early voting is coming. And again, maybe the General Assembly will do at least something to smooth out the process here, especially for absentee ballots. Again, we don't have vote by mail per se in this state, but we kind of essentially do. And I'm not alleging that anything was underhanded here, but as the voting process changes here, as we go forward with more of these changes, people are just going to be cynical. They just are. It's the way things are. All right, fourth and final hour here. We'll get back to open phones next half hour. Whatever's on your mind, we'll do that then at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. This gentleman joins us midweek every Wednesday at this time. First break in the 5 o'clock hour. And, oh, there is stuff to talk about this week. Yeah, there were a couple of primaries yesterday, including one in Bridgeport. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media columnist and editor. Dan, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good, good, good. Everything okay. We've got the primaries, not such good turnout, especially in Hartford.
Yeah.
But life goes on in the political world. John Gomes in Bridgeport has put out a statement this afternoon, mm-hmm. saying that he is going to move forward in November, going to still challenge on the not as the Democratic endorsed candidate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the problem with those moves is you have to ask what's going to change between now and November, and he made all kinds of accusations in the press release, mm-hmm. but he's moving forward. He's not conceding.
Yeah, and Dan, the interesting thing is here, you're right, you kind of touched on it here. What changes in his support level between now and November? Now, there's still a Marilyn Moore contingent out there, I guess. There's still a Lamon Daniels contingent out there, I guess. Now all the back scratching happens. So, I mean, I don't know. I'll ask you, do you think there's enough support to be marshaled by John Gomes, considering that he's in, as you say, and more people may get in to knock off Joe Ganim, or is the incumbent here just too powerful?
Well, Joe Ganim is a strong organization, obviously, by definition, and that's why he gets the massive numbers, you know, 3 and 4 times more absentee ballots than anyone else, both in other cities and in his own city, and that's the result of an organization. And that same organization also gets out the vote in the machine vote on the day. So it's tough to beat that. Joe Ganim is not, he's a complex political figure. Mm-hmm. His opponents like to say, oh, there's something fishy. This is corruption. There's stuff going on. And they point in both directions at funny stuff and people being bullied and all that stuff. But the reality is that he is very, very good at holding coalitions together. And the city doesn't work all that badly. These cities, Hartford, Bridgeport, and New Haven, to a lesser extent, are dysfunctional for reasons not having to do with the management of City Hall. They're dysfunctional because of the combination of poverty and social services that are required, and the fact that they don't get properly compensated for the use of their, the vast numbers of non-taxable property, vast amounts of non-taxable property. But that's a different story. The reality is he does a good job of organizing that city, and so that's going to make him tough to beat.
And I guess, Dan, it's a natural, you and I both know in the media business or in the political business, perception is reality, and people have the perception, oh, here we are, 2 cycles in a row where one candidate wins at the polls in the polling places, and as you say, this kind of pall, this whispering about absentee ballots flips it, to the other side when people wake up in the morning, and I think, despite, as you say, Dan, it's an operation to get out the absentee ballots, and every campaign does it. It does feed, I think, into a little bit of cynicism from people.
Well, that's right. And you have to be neither naive nor conspiratorial about it, right? Mm-hmm. On the one hand, yes, we know that if somebody gets 4,300, I'm sorry, not 43, it's more than 2,000 absentee ballots voting for him. That takes a really big effort, and somebody will say that in order to achieve that, somebody being John Gomes, that in order to achieve that, you have to use underhanded means, right? On the other hand, this is the model, and everybody has to understand that this is the model. And John Gomes, above all, knows the model because he works for both former Mayor Bill Finch and this current mayor, Joe Ganim, who fired him when there was an inkling of him running against him. And he was a top administrator for both of these mayors. He knows the political game, the tricks, the shortcuts. And you would have thought that if they had 3,500 absentee ballots voting, that it would be closer to 50-50 than 3-1, but it wasn't. And apparently it's harder than it looks to get a whole bunch of people voting by absentee ballot. So I'm not making a judgment, but I'm just saying there's a certain degree that John Gomes needs to have realized that this was going to happen. And he's making accusations, and it's not something that absent any evidence. Yes, 2019 absentee ballots have been recommended for a criminal investigation by the State Elections Enforcement Commission. That is true. We can't go this is not the same as saying a crime was committed. What they happened was in June, as we reported, the commission looked at it and said, we're going to put this in the hands of the state's attorney. Mm-hmm. That automatically means, in the eyes of some people, that crime is being committed. I don't think you can. Again, you can't be naive, but you have to be careful about accusations when that's the game plan.
Absolutely.
Right? The Ganim game, we know going in that the Ganim game plan is to put all effort into getting absentee ballots into the hands of elderly residents. And you got to know that he's going to beat you on absentee ballots. And just because you beat him in the machines and you lose on absentee ballots and you lose overall doesn't necessarily mean that there is untoward activity.
No, you're right. You're right. And there will be court proceedings maybe, so we'll see. Let's go up the road a little bit, Dan, to New Haven, where pretty convincing win there by Mayor Justin Elliger, likely another term coming up for him. And again, it's not an easy job, like it's not easy in Bridgeport or Hartford, and you have to kind of be one of these, you know, the plate spinners on the old Ed Sullivan show. You're dealing with a city that's got a major university, some incredible wealth, and some really bad poverty as well.
Yeah, in New Haven, you have to look at who's running, right? And if you're a New Haven voter who doesn't follow it as closely as we do, you're looking at two options. You're looking at a choice between two 40-something white guys mm-hmm. who will both live in the rich neighborhoods, respectively, of Westville and East Rock mm-hmm. of New Haven, who both have – one is an MBA from Yale and the other is a lawyer from Yale, a law degree from Yale, right? I probably know which one is which. I really can't tell you reliably right now which one is which. You know why? Because there ain't no difference. And so you got a guy – there is obviously no ideological difference. Right. And yes, of course, there are differences between the two. But if you get a guy who is doing an OK job, as Justin Elliger is, and who's, you know, hitting the right buttons, and the criticism of him is, well, on the margins, he's not getting as much money for the city, he's not doing this, nothing. That's not going to do it. And the fact that these majority black and plurality black and Hispanic cities have not been able to get it together to get the candidates from those neighborhoods forward is a scandal, right? Why does Eric Coleman in Hartford get 1,500 votes after serving the public for 30 years as a judge and a senator and a state rep in the north end of Hartford?
Yeah, and I was going to end with Hartford here, Dan. That's interesting. You had Eric Coleman, you had John Fanfara. Now, Mr. Coleman is in his early 70s after a distinguished career. John Fanfara is in, you know, 67. He's been at the General Assembly forever, like a lot of Democrats there. And you have Arunan Arulampalam, who wins it. You know, Dan, somebody texted me this morning. They said, were you surprised at Hartford? And I don't know, Dan. Maybe it's an age thing. I mean, everybody knows Eric Coleman in Hartford and John Fanfara. Maybe this is just, Dan, a demographic flip, like, hey, here comes the new generation. What do you think?
Eric Coleman, because of his demeanor, has the bearing of an elder statesman. John Fanfara did you say he's 67? I guess intellectually
yeah.
I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a very youthful 67. Mm. Not to say that Eric Coleman isn't youthful, but he has a different temperament and demeanor. John Fanfara is one of the top six most powerful legislators, six or eight most powerful legislators as co-chairman of finance. He has represented the south end of Hartford. He's lived there his whole life. He has represented the south end of Hartford for 26 years. Or 28 years, 26, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a sitting senator whose district includes 70% of the city for 18 years, and he gets 1,500 votes
yeah.
in a primary in which he spent $340,000. Really?
I sense, Dan, you're going to start a campaign consultancy here. You don't sound happy with it.
This is a complete meltdown of the system. And to say that this is the voters have spoken, well, as a matter of fact, the voters haven't spoken. Now, obviously, New Haven and Bridgeport did better. I'm looking at the numbers. Bridgeport, we don't have the numbers, of course, because it's Bridgeport and they didn't report to the state. but the turnout obviously was higher because we know that Joe Ganim got 5,000 votes and Gomes got, what is it, two or three? I don't have it right in front of me. And we know that New Haven was 24%,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's respectable.
It's
for
not bad.
Primary.
Yeah.
Hartford is the problem.
Yeah.
And what the heck is going on in Hartford?
Yeah, well, they're concentrating, Dan. It's all about getting the Whalers back. I'm sorry, we won't go there. Dan Hard, Dan, thank you, and we will join you middle of next week again, sir. Take care, Dan.
Great to be here.
Thanks, Dan. Bye-bye. There you go. Dan Hard, Hearst Connecticut Media, right there. Guy who's been around a while knows how to interpret stuff. So there you go. Hartford was an open seat. And a friend of mine texted me this morning. Said, wow, John Fonfara. Yeah, he's been in the General Assembly forever. He's 67. Eric Coleman is in his early 70s. I really think Hartford was just a case of, you know, this new blood. And maybe, I don't know. Look, there are constant demographic and racial shifts that go on in these cities. And New Haven has bounced back and forth between, there's been a woman mayor of New Haven. There's obviously black mayors of New Haven. There's been white mayors of New Haven. Even Hartford has bounced back and forth. That's where Bridgeport's kind of an outlier. Interesting. So, you know, going into this, you know, we'll see in November if, in fact, you know, there's a generational or a racial shift in the city that would give Bridgeport its first ever black or Hispanic mayor.